Well, good afternoon, and how exciting is this? And I am with one of the Crane's Newsmakers of the Year, Rachel Stewart, CEO of Gardner White. Rachel, let's have some fun today.
Absolutely. Laying it on thick, my friend.
Let's kick off our day. We have a great guest coming in.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited to start with Butch Hollowell, no stranger to the show or the city, but and wears many hats in our city. But today, I think we want to talk to him about heading up Mayor Mary Sheffield's very, very successful transition. We have transitioned and are off to the races. Butch, welcome.
Rachel, you know, I think Paul W. has got to look over his shoulder. You seem pretty comfortable behind that microphone there. I don't know. Tony, what do you think? I'm just thinking.
I think she's in. I think it's a little cold in here. We can warm it up because, you know, Paul loves a cold, Butch.
Yeah, we're going to have to spring for some heat if Rachel's staying, that's for sure.
I wear an overcoat whenever I'm over here. So.
Well, so
and Rachel,
yeah, go ahead.
We've got the state of the city, as you know, tonight at 7 o'clock. It's Mayor Sheffield's very first state of the city, and it's just really exciting. And you know, Rachel, I do have to say this. Look, you've been such a good friend, both to me during the transition and to the mayor before, during, and presently. Just thank you on behalf of a grateful city.
Oh, I mean, she's the best, and come on. First female mayor. I am all in, man. She's going to be successful. Actually, Butch, this is funny. So one thing we've been working on is making Manoogian, you know, up to her high standards.
And I
came by the first floor of our offices the other day. I'm like, what is going on? There's curtains everywhere. Well, our team wasn't going to install curtains that weren't perfect. So they were airing them out over every cubicle. It looked like a tent. It was hilarious.
Oh, good.
But well, it's going to be beautiful.
Your team at Gardner White, you got a great team. But of course, it's under great leadership. So thank you.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because I spend a lot of my time thinking about the great team because it makes my life easy and fun. And it seems like our mayor has done exactly the same. I've been so impressed by some of the people she's recruited to the administration, including people who are bona fide global experts in what they do. Like Luke Schaefer is the guy on poverty from University of Michigan, now a member of the administration. Tell me about what that looked like and where her priorities were.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about Luke Schaefer, just for people who don't know, he's world famous from his position formerly at the University of Michigan. And now he's the new City of Detroit's chief health, human and poverty solutions director. And you know, I think, as you know, what the very first thing that Mayor Sheffield did right after she got sworn in was to start the RX Kids program, which is direct assistance at the most vulnerable time. And what we know from Luke Schaefer's work and his studies at the University of Michigan is that, unfortunately, pregnancy is all too often correlated with a plunge into poverty for far too many of our young mothers. And so what we're doing here is using this program to really give them a leg up so that when they have their children, they've got the resources. And this is all part of the, you know, effort to move in the direction of having our children healthy and productive, get them a good education so that they can enter the workforce, you know. And I think, you know, we can move into the next phase of job development, education with the resources that we have here, but reframed as Mayor Sheffield has done.
No, I think it's so important. And among the many things I loved about RX Kids, we're working with the Michigan State College of Human Medicine. And, you know, it's long irked me that we have such amazing research institutions in our state that churn out so many great insights. It doesn't always get translated into local policy. So to see her leveraging that talent throughout her state, to me, was very exciting.
You're going to hear a lot more about that, by the way, in the speech tonight, which is going to be brought to you live from Mumford High School, historic Mumford High School. And I always get a funny feeling when I go over to Mumford High School because I was a tennis player. I was captain of the U of D High's tennis team. And Mumford always had one of the very best tennis teams in the city. So my competitive juices get up there. But it's great, you know. Look at their alums, you know, Jameel Hill, the sports broadcaster, Stephen Ross, you know, is a Mumford graduate, the New York, you know, financial titan. And He's behind the new University of Michigan campus off Capitol Park. Jerry Bruckheimer, film producer, Top Gun, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be fun from that venue.
Well, I'll tell you, Butch, you've got a 12-year veteran of city council, Mary Sheffield, stepping into this amazing role as mayor of the city of Detroit. How excited is she? We're not in the room, right? And I think people need to know, like, she seems so pumped and so ready for this job. Walk through some of it, you know, the emotion and the momentum, if you would.
You know, it's palpable, and it's palpable with not only Mayor Sheffield, but the team that she's assembled around here, which is, you know, she's 38 years old, but let me tell you something. She is an experienced 38-year-old. She has been around.
Right.
She knows what she is doing. And so it's very exciting. You can feel it around the city, of course. You know, the city of Detroit's 76th mayor and the first woman who's coming in on the heels of a 77% win. Let that sink in for a minute. 77%. And so, you know, she is doing what she said she was going to do. So, yeah, she's excited about that. You look at, you know, you're going to hear about after school programming and the increase, tonight. You're going to hear more about that. We're going to make sure that our children are well-trained and cared for as a part of our future workforce blueprint. You're going to see more about business development, cutting red tape and getting permits, doubling down on making sure our city is safe with our great Chief Bettison. It's going to be a great speech. You're going to love it. It's a great time in Detroit.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd Bettison is coming on with us in just a little bit. We thought you'd love to hear that. And we're a little out of time. And I've got to tell you, Butch, it was so great having you on, you know, with Rachel, myself, and you to spread the word, because it is exciting in the city. It really is. And thank you so much.
Well, Tony and Rachel, I really appreciate so much having me on. I look forward to talking with you again in the future. Thanks.
Go get them tonight, Mary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We are back, and we're having a little trouble connecting with Jared Flesher, CEO of Bedrock. So we're going to talk a little parade, aren't we, Rach?
I mean, it's the Big 100. Help me from talking about the parade.
The presenting sponsor, Gardner White, through 2031, and here we go. Year 100, and after the Ford fireworks, it all kicks in, Rachel.
It all kicks in now, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like we're going?
It does. It does. And I'll tell you, you can ask the team at the parade company. They're so phenomenal. But everyone is just geared up, and we're really rocking towards this 100th. It's going to be something Detroit has never seen. It really is.
So, and what year will it be that we've been the best parade in the country? How many times does that happen?
I believe twice. We finished second like five times. This year, we're going for it for number one again.
Oh, we're going for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got to talk strategy there.
Oh, we're going to
I love that about our parade, because it's not glitzy. It's not like, you know, there's other major urban parades that shall remain nameless that go sort of buy it with talent and, you know, like really fancy acts. No, we're still picking the papier-mâché big heads like we did 100 years ago, like authentic and gritty like Detroit is.
Absolutely. We have 8 brand new floats this year.
Us being
3
one.
Companies that have never been in the parade are launching this year. So it's going to be really exciting.
I would say at least 3 companies that have never been
in
the parade.
Yeah, it is early, isn't it?
I'm getting a lot of calls with this Tony Michaels, who seems pretty with it. Talk to me, Rachel.
Oh, jeez. They got that wrong.
I know. I don't worry. I tell them every
time. It's me. Yeah. But it is exciting, and there is so much going on. And before that, we have the Ford fireworks on June 22nd. Mm-hmm. Truly the number one show in the country. It is. And think about Thanksgiving Day, the S3 Turkey Trot.
Right.
And Hobnobble Gobble, presented by Ford the week before. But then the granddaddy of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And let's call it what it is, America's Thanksgiving Parade, presented by Gardner White.
I get tingles every time I hear it. It's true. It's exciting.
And Rachel, you have a lot of new stores opening up.
We have a lot of new stores opening up. I mean, first I would say... this was for real. What, 2 years ago, we'd been looking at the Detroit store that Tony had, you know, nudged me a little. And I'm sitting there. It was at the parade where I looked out of the announcer booth and I saw it. That could work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so special to, you know, watch it in the store with all the floats going by. That felt pretty good. But yeah, that was last year. Now this year we're opening, 9 stores, 6 months, where we got 2 open and another coming. It's been really exciting as we expand both in Metro Detroit and throughout the state.
Yeah. What is the next store opening?
We are working on Lansing right now.
Lansing.
So we've got Clinton Township open. We've got Chesterfield open, and Lansing should be next week.
Mm-hmm. How neat is that?
I mean, it's both neat and remarkable. You talk about a great team. I mean, our team is getting good.
Yeah.
And it has been a ton of work, but I'm so proud of what they've been able to pull off.
That is so good. Rachel, what are the latest trends? I mean, you see so many commercials and so many things happening. What is happening in the world of furniture?
My two favorite trends. My first favorite trend that I talk about all the time is performance fabric. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we could only sell dark fabrics because you lived in abject terror of your kids or your dogs or whatever, life happening and ruining your new furniture. Now, really, you can pour red wine on a white sofa. It'll beat up. You wipe it off. Life moves on. So it just creates so many more opportunities that are both practical but also beautiful. So now you see a ton of colors and textures and everything else in the store. So that's the one I love. The other one that you wouldn't tell unless someone tells you about it is there's a ton of technology integrated in furniture, but it's also really stylized. So in the past, you had to choose, did you want a recliner? Did you want something really beautiful? And then husbands and wives were fighting every day in the stores. That is no longer the case. You now have like really, really beautiful furniture with a ton of integrated technology that makes it both comfortable and practical. So you have, you know, even things, you integrated massage, you have high leg sofas you would never know recline. What else? We have some, there's literally, we call it the Maverick. There's basically a stereo embedded in this piece of furniture along with massage. I mean, like, there's nothing this doesn't have. And actually, as an investment, it's cheaper than buying a whole stereo and a furniture system. So there's just a ton out there that someone needs to tell you about.
Well, in your delivery, I have to tell you, past Sunday, my daughter Emily bought a bedroom set for little Tommy. Mm-hmm. He's 2.5. This was the big moment, his new bed, the whole thing. They told her between 12 and 4. They were there like 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And she said they were unbelievable, your team. Unbelievable.
That's nice. We didn't even talk about that. The team's really good. I mean, I think it's always funny when people ask, like, how soon can I get it? I said, you want it after 4 today. And they think the same day thing is just something we talk about in ads. No, we do it every day, 7 days a week. And the team does a great job there. The other thing that's cool that with your daughter, there's this great technology called Dispatch Track. So no one in the world has time to wait around all day for a delivery. So what we get is you'll get a narrow hour of 2 hours the day of, but then the delivery time keeps narrowing to a 20-minute increment. So by the end of the day, you just, you know, I've done it many times, getting a Gardner White delivery. You run home from work, get your delivery, go back to work, and move on with your life. Which is, I think, what's necessary in this world with how busy people are.
Well, I'll tell you what she said was interesting. The day before, they were coming up to 11, and the kids would have been in bed. She made the switch. They said, don't worry about it. Tomorrow, you know, we have four hour span, and they were good to go.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of companies that have cut back on the how wide their deliveries are, and don't deliver on some days. That is not us. We believe to our core to make it as convenient as humanly possible.
Right. I even send you pictures of your trucks when I see them in subdivisions. How's that?
I love it. It's pretty good. and thoughts on design? Just wait. I mean, when we recover them, Tony's going to have a lot of consulting hours in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, we're going to be back shortly with Dave Beach now, who is headed to Indianapolis. Dave is the head of the 2027 Final Four right here in the city of Detroit next April. So we can't wait to get Dave on in just a couple of minutes. So stay with us, everybody. We are back. And this is one exciting segment, Rachel. This is big. Dave Beach now, the head of the 2027 Final Four here in our great city of Detroit. And Dave, I know you're headed to Indianapolis probably today or tomorrow, right?
Good afternoon, Tony and Rachel. It's great to be with you. Yeah, actually, tomorrow afternoon, I'll be heading down to Indianapolis, and then later on this week, we'll have a larger contingent joining us for the weekend to really, you know, take in Final Four, you know, observations, tours, meetings, the whole bit.
Rachel,
I mean, you're going to watch Michigan win, obviously. You can't say it, but I can.
You can say that, right?
Yeah, I mean it.
I think Rachel wants to ride shotgun. You going?
I'll drive. You could strap me to the roof. I don't care.
Come on along. I'll add you to the list.
Thank
of
you.
Ticket requests I've received.
Yeah. Are you the most popular man in the city right now?
Yeah.
State,
exactly.
Maybe the country?
Imagine if Michigan State, and it's sad they didn't get in and they put up such a fight, but imagine if both were in, Dave, what that would be like and you headed down there right now.
Oh, it'd be amazing. But we want that next year.
Yes.
So I think
yes.
with both programs where they're at now, and Michigan State, by the way, is our host institution for yep. next year's championship. So we're working very closely with your athletic department up there. You know, Coach Izzo has been great throughout the process. Whatever we need, he's there for us. So, you know, we've got a lot of collaboration going on right now, and we're 368 days away. But who's counting?
But who's yeah. counting,
who's
right?
counting?
And it starts, yeah. I mean, it probably started, what, 368 days ago to really start planning for an event like this.
Yeah, it does, and it's really going to ramp up once you know, we get past Indianapolis, of course, and the NCAA will be in Detroit on a monthly basis. And so, no, we're looking forward to it, and it's a much different event than it was back in 2009. Everything's been amplified to a whole nother level, and, you know, you're going to hear it time and time again, but no ticket, no problem, because not everyone's going to have tickets to the games at Ford Field. But there are so many free opportunities. If you just look at the music festival alone, and I just looked at the acts they're going to be performing in Indianapolis, they've got Post Malone, Zac Brown Band, 21 Pilots, Chainsmokers. So if you just had that music festival by itself, it would be an incredible event for downtown. But that's all part of Final Four weekend, which is really exciting.
Dave, are you open to talk about some of the areas in Detroit that will be utilized, you know, around the downtown market?
Yeah, some of the decisions won't come till later this summer, but obviously Ford Field is the competition venue
yeah,
where the semifinals yeah. and championship game will be played on Monday night. Right. The Fan Festival will be at the Convention Center. You know, that's pretty straightforward. And then some of the other events like the Music Festival, they have a tip-off tailgate, which is a sponsor activation, interactive opportunity for fans. Free to enjoy, and they'll have a watch party for those who don't have tickets. That's still a location to be determined, but it will be in, you know, the 1 mile radius of the downtown core and very walkable. And that's what's important to the NCAA for their fans, you know, the teams that come in, everyone that's coming to Detroit, that it's walkable from hotels to venues, you know, to the restaurants and bars. And so, yeah. More to come later, but yes, some announcements will be made later on this summer.
Hey, Dave, could you share with everybody how long it really takes to get this bid in and to win the bid, and how many years out it is until you're finally holding the event, which is in 2027?
Yeah, well, for us in this bid cycle, it started back in 2021. So it was almost a year-long bid process. You know, we made our final pitch to the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee on Halloween of 2022. I'll never forget that day. And then in November of 2022, they awarded or announced the five future sites. So we were actually on the front end of the next cycle. So 2031 is the last year that's currently awarded, and then they're going to start another bid process. But if you look back to the 2009 Final Four, we awarded that in 03, so we had 6 years until that Final Four.
Right. So the assumption is that we're going to be in the next presentation to get it here again, correct?
Well, we would hope so. Yeah. And, you know, the competition continues to grow for this event in particular. You have to have the Dome Football Stadium, and there are some new NFL stadiums coming online. So when you think about D.C., Cleveland, Chicago, Nashville's opening a new stadium. Kansas City potentially is building a roofed football stadium as well. So there had only been about 10 or 12 cities around the country who could host a Final Four. That number's growing. So, you know, our goal is for it to not be another 18 years to get a Final Four back, but we'll see.
What do you think stood out about Detroit's application this year, and it's going to be unique about the Final Four in Detroit specifically?
Well, I think what stood out was just the collaboration we have in the community now. And if you point back to the NFL draft and how everyone came together, and I don't know that we had that maybe, you know, 12, 13 years ago. And I think they saw that, but probably as importantly is just how the city's changed, you know, over that course of time as well. And, you know, coming in here, you know, feeling the energy, the development that's taking place, and a lot of the corporate stakeholders and others who have invested in our city. It's just, it's a great visitor destination now and a place to bring major events to, and people are taking notice of that.
We are so fortunate with so many people such as Dan Gilbert and Christopher Illich and people who've done things downtown to make our city so great. I mean, it's such a difference. And now the new JW Marriott being built, the Edition Hotel, and all of these things happening, Dave, it's got to be exciting for you in your position to know that you now have something to really sell, you know, in our great city.
There's no question about it. It makes our job a lot easier, no matter the competition. You know, we've got everyone, you know, pulling in the same direction. We're all on the same team. And, you know, it's just a great time to be doing what we're doing.
So what do you think? So, you know, our next Final Four, where do you think we need to go? Where do we need to invest? I mean, I didn't realize until I really started talking to people about the JW, the importance of having a huge hotel. You know, we just didn't have capacity. What else do we need to be focusing on as a community to really make this happen again and again and again?
Well, quite honestly, it is our hotel package. You know, we're still deficient with the number of hotel rooms that's required for major events like this. You know, the good news is it's spilling out into the suburbs because we are a regional organization. But at the same time, you know, these event owners and rights holders, you know, they like everything to be in a compressed downtown area where you park your car if you have a car, and then you can walk from, you know, point A to point B without having to worry about transportation. So I would say that would be the key, but also, you know, paying for these events, the funding is critically important to support bringing these major events to our region on an annual basis. And so, you know, we're working very hard, you know, with legislators up in Michigan to get some sort of a permanent funding mechanism in place, because we can't continue to go back to, you know, the same suspects time and time again, because there's definitely be that fatigue. And so those are probably the two critical areas I see to be successful moving forward.
And when you're making the case, I'm sure you've studied the economic benefit that every event brings to the city. What's it going to look like for the Final Four next year here?
Well, we're expecting about 100,000 unique visitors to Detroit over the course of 4 days. And, you know, we don't necessarily like to throw out economic impact figures, but I would tell you that San Antonio last year and Phoenix the year prior all reported over $400 million in economic impact. So you think about hotel stays, you know, the restaurant and
that'll
bar
work.
Spending. And yeah, they'll work.
Hey,
for sure.
Dave, we have about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to make a pitch for you. Everybody who talks to state legislators, state lawmakers, we need to get them to understand how important it is to help fund these major, major events in our city and our state. Did I do that okay?
You did it great. It's a small investment for the return on it. You know, I talked about numbers and also having our city on the national and global stage once again. You know, you can't afford that kind of advertising.
Right, right. Rachel, should we let him go to Indy now? Should we sign off?
I mean, only if I got a seat in the back. Yeah.
where are you at, Rachel?
You know, Fisher Building, WJR, baby.
Dave, thank you so much, and have a great trip, and get ready. We're so excited for what you are doing, sir.
Thanks, Tony. Always appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good luck.
We are back. We're back, Rachel.
Ta-da!
We're cooking along here. We've got a great guest right now. Why don't you do the wonderful introduction? How's that?
Because I can say the title.
Yes.
Hillary, welcome. What, President and Chief Growth Officer of the Michigan Institute for Growth and Opportunity, also known as MIGO. Hillary, let's work on the marketing for that.
Yeah, exactly. I always just say MIGO when you have to say the whole thing. It's a real mouthful. But thank you all for having me. I'm excited to get the chance to chat.
So are we. So tell us about what that actually means.
Yeah, for sure. Well, folks may know that, you know, for the last few years, the state has had a real emphasis here in Michigan on, you know, the importance of doing what it takes to keep our talent here in the state, you know, our working families, our young people, because really population drives our economic growth. It's the foundation of healthy communities. It's the foundation of economic prosperity for all of our citizens and our long-term, you know, kind of economic outlook. And so for the last few years, I served as chief growth officer for the state of Michigan when the the governor made this a real priority and wanted to ensure we could continue this work over the long term. So my go is really, you know, this piece of infrastructure to continue the work we've been doing in the growth office, you know, over the long term, continuing to pull partners across the state together around these kind of ambitious goals with policy programs and some storytelling.
And so talk to us about some of the wins we've seen since you've been focused on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the state is very, I guess, lucky and prescient, and I'm happy that we made the decision to prioritize this when we did, because what we're seeing is, you know, states and communities across the country really realizing how critically important this is, and that, you know, we all need to be in, you know, participating and competing, I guess, in this kind of like talent war to build the kind of place that our folks want to stay, our citizens want to choose to build their futures in, and that will be a beacon to folks from across the country to come and join us. And so at the highest level in kind of, you know, the population statistics themselves, Michigan's really seen some good growth over the last handful of years here, including, you know, you probably saw that Detroit grew for the first time in 50 years, the last two consecutive years. Flint joined them last year after 25 years of, you know, more stagnation. We've also bucked the trend on net migration and officially had more folks choose to move to the state than leave the state since, you know, 1991. These aren't small things. We certainly by no means have arrived at our destination, but it shows real momentum going in the right direction. And actually, the stat that I like to cite the most is that the acceleration in growth among our young adult population specifically is now fifth fastest in the country. And that was just not the case, you know, a handful of years ago before we started being intentional about this. And it's certainly the result of tens of thousands of Michiganders really locking arms with this goal in mind.
Well, Hillary, before you came on, Rachel and I were talking, and she mentioned the awards that our city is getting in the state.
Yeah.
That's got to play in to what you're doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it both is a reflection of some of those intentional investments in place and in our, you know, communities that, you know, make the decision easier for folks to choose to stay and for others to come and join us. But then it also, to your point, builds on itself. You know, when we get great coverage about being one of the coolest places to visit, it helps us make the case that, you know, it's an even better place to live. Or when we get great coverage about, you know, our wonderful Riverwalk or our best in the nation art museum, it's undeniable that, you know, our place is a hub for creativity and innovation. You know, we have one of the fastest growing startup ecosystems, and that's gotten coverage recently. So when you make your decision to choose to call a place home, you need to know that it has opportunities for your family, that it has great places and neighborhoods. And really, you know, some of those, that press helps us check all those boxes for folks who are already here and folks that might choose to join us.
Well, I tell you, I hate to always use this line, but people say live, work, and play. And yeah, I happen to run a company that puts on quite a few big, big events for our city and state. And we take it very serious, Hillary, that these are big, big things. And a great community has to have these big things. How do you feel about all of that? And how does it play into what you're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, and, you know, kudos to you for helping to contribute to all of the, you know, character that a given place has. But, you know, one of the things I always say about, especially when I'm talking to young people, because as you probably know, one of the challenges across the country really is more kind of social isolation among lots of folks, but, you know, especially among young folks. And I always say, you know, if we have our young people in their apartments, in their living rooms, and they haven't gotten engaged in their community, we really don't have a right to retain them, because your living room is a commodity, right? You could have a living room in Syracuse, you could have a living room in Sacramento, you could have a living room in Houston. The thing that makes us unique and the reason people will choose to stay is the quality of community, the unique cultural experiences that you can have here, the, you know, shared experiences we all build together at, you know, events like the parade or at big events where the whole country's watching, like the draft. And it's undeniable the economic impact of, you know, all of that taken together, and even things like the draft, the number of folks who've been interested in having, you know, their big conference or event here since then, which of course helps to fuel the local economy. So yeah, I think it's a requirement, arguably, you know, one of the foundations of, you know, successfully being able to tell our story.
So Hillary, what work do we still need to do? I mean, we've started to turn the dials, which is so important, but to really start accelerating, what work is left for all of us in the community?
Well, we all should roll up our sleeves because we do have real work to do. Number one, I would say, is to keep going. Again, we're pointed in the right direction now. We have the wind at our back, but we also see economic headwinds. I think Michiganders can feel this. Certainly our local businesses can feel it. We saw, you know, some unemployment rates ticking up. Our young people graduating from college having, you know, a more difficult time than they did before, finding jobs right out of school, things like that. And that is true across the country. That's not unique to Michigan. But in moments like that, Michigan has processed those headwinds historically, you know, with population losses. People might remember between 2008 and 2010, we lost 170,000 people across the state during just those 2 years. That's an enormous impact and arguably the longest lasting negative economic impact, you know, you can have to bear as a place. So I would say, you know, we have to keep going. These investments are working. This sort of collective effort is working across policy, across these programs to spark growth, across our marketing. And we absolutely need to keep our foot on the accelerator. That's one thing. And then if I were to dig in, you know, to some of the opportunities that we have, we're really seeing cities across the country start to compete in terms of, you know, offering different program benefits and incentives that really can make the difference for folks choosing to stay. For example, support for building their businesses here, student loan forgiveness, down payment support for boomerangs coming back or for, you know, Michiganders who are already here. Those things really do work and there's good data on them now. So when we can make those investments to be a spark, I think we should continue to do so. And last thing on the policy side, I'd be remiss not to mention, you know, we hear about the importance of housing and housing accessibility and affordability all the time. Doing this well means we keep building to make sure that, you know, folks who are already here have access to those accessible options. And we hear about things like transit, for example, where we're less far along as a state and we really have work to do to make sure we continue to be competitive and meet the needs of the folks that are making their choice to live here.
Hillary, one of the things in our city and our state that's so evident is the amazing support from our companies, our public and private companies. And one of those people sitting right across from me, Rachel Stewart with Gardner White, and being there to help in any way that they can. And I just feel so good in our community for everybody to help you and others do what you do.
I mean, I always, like, growth is very much a group project. It was almost a misnomer. I joked to be, quote unquote, chief growth officer because, you know, the implication would be that you could do that by yourself, and that's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. We have to do this together. And I actually think it's the superpower of our place. You know, I've had the opportunity to live in lots of parts of the country. I'm born here. I'm a born and raised Michigander. I went to school here, but I also lived in LA and Chicago and New York and elsewhere. And honestly, I've never had the experience that I've had here of folks deciding together. Yeah, we have a challenge and we're not afraid of it. Let's like chase it and make it an opportunity for us to be a first mover across the business sector. Business has locked arms with foundations, community organizations, really with the public good in mind. Because I think we recognize, you know, if we work together to achieve these, you know, positive outcomes in our community, we really do all benefit today and for the long term. And, you know, that togetherness is really, I think, what will drive our success long term and has helped us drive our success so far.
Well, one thing I love that you did this summer is when you had all of these business leaders telling interns in Detroit the story, because, you know, we know we're collaborative. You have to tell people in their 20s so they choose to stay. And I don't know that we've always done that as well as we'd have under your leadership. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. We're going to keep it up. You know, open call for anyone who wants to purchase. Right. Thank you all for all your support.
Thank you, Hillary. It was so great to have you on. It really was such a great initiative. Keep at it.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are so honored to be in Paul W.'s chair today, but to also have this next guest on. You talk about a superstar in our city, Rachel. Police Chief Todd Bettison. I'm telling you, Todd, this city is so proud of you and your team. Welcome to the show.
Tony, Rachel, how are you both?
We are great, and partly because you keep us safe every single day, so thank you.
yeah, guess where I'm at?
Where?
I'm having lunch, but I'm outside in Greektown. I know it'll be opening up soon.
Oh,
the street's not quite out, but you know, I'm already anticipating it, so I'm downtown Detroit in Greektown.
Cannot wait. And this Friday, you really kick off your summer series, right, with opening day. and then all the events kick in and everything. But year round, you're doing a great job. But this Friday really kicks a lot of events off, right, Todd?
Oh, absolutely. You know, opening day in the city of Detroit is like a national holiday. And so you know how it is. I know you're going to be there, yep. My whole team. You know, I got extra officers deployed and just making sure that we keep folks safe. But it really does. You know, it's like an unofficial kind of thing, you know, getting us all ready and geared up for summer. I know spring just got here, but we're already, we can't wait.
Well, your team is amazing. Take that from somebody who experiences it all year long, my friend. You guys are rock stars, absolute rock stars.
Yeah.
Well, so Todd,
I was just saying, Rachel, and you're great, and just always appreciate the support. Always say One Detroit, and so, you know, it's downtown, it's the neighborhoods, right. And, you know, even our metro neighbors. I work very, very well collaboratively with Sheriff Mike Bouchard out there in Oakland County, Anthony Wickersham in Macomb County, mm-hmm. all of my federal partners, FBI, ATF. And so it's not just me, but it's us as a law enforcement team and our public-private safety partners as well, just to make sure that we're locked in to make sure that people can have fun, work, play, and be safe in the city of Detroit.
Oh, I'm into that. So I think tonight we're probably going to hear a lot about safety in the city of Detroit and a lot of the initiatives that that our mayor's really excited to launch. How's the focus changed? And I mean, I think you've always been focused on community safety, but what are the new exciting things that are animating your work?
Oh man, I can't get in front of the mayor, man. But I
know, I know.
You know, because
nor should you.
tonight is the state of the city in Detroit, and everyone will tune in to hear from our mayor, Mary Sheffield, and she's going to really highlight what her initiatives and focus really are. But I can tell you one thing for sure. We're going to continue to do what we do as far as pushing down our violent crime. Yeah. We had historic lows in the categories of homicide, non-fatal shootings, carjackings, all that great stuff, utilizing technology, being fully staffed, hiring the best of the best when it comes to the men and women of the Detroit Police Department, working with our community groups. But we're going to really also be focusing on quality of life issues, property crime. So I'll just tease that a little bit. And so for our business community, that's very important to you and Detroiters, just overall, your things and your stuff.
Yep. Well, I was looking, you've really championed some investments that are saving lives. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yes. Investments, our community violence intervention is one key in going up to Lansing to ensure that with the Public Safety Trust Fund and thanking both on the Republican side and the Dem side for finally getting it done, making a long-term investment and ensuring that the city of Detroit and other neighboring communities have more investment when it comes to safety and law enforcement in the communities. Another thing has been ShotSpotter, gun detection technology. That's been huge because oftentimes individuals may not know exactly where gunfire is coming from, but with gun detection technology piping into our real-time crime center, it lets our officers know as soon as that shot is fired. Those sensors pick up and triangulate and let our officers know exactly where to go, even without a 911 call. And so if a shot happens in a backyard, our officers are there. We're collecting that evidence. But we're able to find individuals that are hurt, get them to the hospital, and save their lives. Then we have Project Greenlight, where we started back out in 2015. I was an integral part of that. And we started out with 8 gas stations, but now we have over 1,085 businesses that we have video with a blinking green light for branding, but it pumps into our real-time crime center. And so that helps keep folks safe. You know that when you see that green light, that's a place of safety and that the police are watching and that they can get you help very, very quickly. And then partnering with Downtown Partnership, they have our blue light, Project Blue Light program, and they have green light on top of that. But just working with, like I say, the Downtown Partnership, working with you, Rachel, mm-hmm. Tony always brings the fun. I mean, he has the Thanksgiving Day parade. But more importantly, what's coming up this summer is the fireworks that I'm super excited about. And we're looking to do some new and exciting things when it comes to the fireworks. And Tony will always tell you it's going to be bigger and better each and every year. So it'll be bigger and better than even last year.
And that's where he's been right.
It will. And, you know, Todd, one thing I think people should know is just in a couple of weeks from now, we'll be getting together at the parade company for our first Ford Fireworks Safety Summit. There are, 70 people in that room from all walks of law enforcement from, of course, hosted by you and DPD and the parade company, but Homeland Security, Coast Guard, everybody is in that room. And it is amazing to watch the collaboration to pull off something great in our city, led by you. Just amazing.
Thanks for putting me up front and out there, but, you know, it's us. It's just collaboration. And like I say, the alphabet soup when it comes to law enforcement, alphabet, FBI, ATF, DEA, we invite everybody. And the new U.S. attorney has been great too, Jerome Gorgon. When individuals get out of line, he will prosecute them federally. Then our Wayne County prosecutor, Kim Worthy, doesn't play either. And I can't forget CEO, the chief executive of Wayne County, Warren Evans.
Yeah,
and so we got the Wayne County sheriff, but CEO Evans has just been phenomenal when it comes to adding additional prosecutors at our local precinct stations and the technology that he brings as well. So I can't lose, man. I'm just in a good position, and the city of Detroit is in a great position. And when I say the city of Detroit, I'm also talking about Metro Detroit, because everybody comes to enjoy our sports. Our Pistons are winning. Oh, my God. You know, the Lions had a phenomenal season, and it's just a good time to be in Detroit with all of our sport teams right downtown.
We just have a few seconds left. I have to tell the listeners one quick little story. You were deputy mayor. Mayor Duggan was out of town, and you had to give the key to Santa Claus on Thanksgiving morning. And you looked at me and you said, "I can't screw this up, Tone." And you did a great job, Todd, a great job giving Santa the key that day.
Man, that was a nervous I had been, man. I was like, I'm on national TV. This is America's America's parade. And I'm like, I cannot fall off this float. I cannot have a mishap. So,
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And keep doing what you do, because you make us all so comfortable. You really do.
All righty. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. We are back. We are back with a man. Rachel, are you sitting in his seat or am I for Sunday morning show?
I think you.
Am I in his seat?
You should be.
I mean, it's a big seat to fill, let me tell you.
That's why it takes two of us.
Mark Hollis, ladies and gentlemen. We are so honored to have you here, Mark. Welcome.
Well, congratulations. Great show. You guys are off to a great start, and I hope I don't mess it up at this point.
I think you'll be okay. I do.
Okay.
For those of you out there, you know, Mark is everything when it comes to Rocket with Dan Gilbert, all of the event side and all the great things coming to Detroit. And he had such a hand in bringing the draft here and the Final Four, you know, working under Dan and so on. And here we go again with one of the great, great events in our city, and the Rocket Classic, Mark, and how hard you have worked to make this happen and to be successful. Share with us where you're at and how it's going right now for you.
Well, I'd happy to do so. But first, the three of us, you get us together. None of us do anything normal. So you're always looking for ways to enhance, ways to make things better, always with a focus of purpose and really on the city of Detroit and all the good things we have going on. But Dan Gilbert brought this Rocket Classic to Detroit back in 2019, and we've had some great years. We've had everything from pandemic to tornadoes to floods, and we're hoping we don't get any of that this year. But we've really been listening more than directing. And what we have heard is we want to come. We want it to be easier. We want it to be more affordable, especially for the grounds tickets. And we've responded in every way. With parking, we're going to have lots conveniently located off I-10, conveniently located off I-75. So it's where a lot of our ticket buyers are coming from. Tickets we've reduced significantly. In fact, on Thursday, the ticket's going to be as low as $31.30, playing off the 313. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it as an advance kind of opportunity through mid-June, is we want people to make the decisions. We're going to be making some player announcements that are going to be really significant, and we're excited about that. And it's just going to be a great time to come out. The date is awesome, and Tony, you can describe why end of July instead of end of June.
Well, yeah, it's right after the fireworks, you know, where we're after the Ford fireworks, and the players are firing up to get in the FedEx Championship, and that makes this tournament even more important. Did I nail it, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to be pivotal for the players, whether they're already in and trying to stay in the FedEx Cup playoffs or they're out trying to get in. So there's going to be a lot of jockeying going on these last 2 weeks. And also, we're in a state where folks like to travel north. This is a week at the end of July that's, you know, less of a travel north week than it is the end of June and around the 4th of July. So everything's kind of fallen into place for it to be just a spectacular celebration at the newly designed Detroit Golf Club.
Well, Mark, what you said is really important. There is nothing going down in price in this world except perhaps for a ticket to the Rocket Classic. How at the risk of, you know, how do those numbers work?
The same way it is, if you go to the Super Bowl, you give all your furniture away for a year.
We want to. I wish we did.
Right. You know, our hopes is with the changes we're making, not only in pricing, but the amenities we're putting on the course, you know, a little warmer at the end of July, we're going to have cooling stations with everything from water stations to the cooling fans that come down in anticipation that we're going to get a lot more folks coming out, more folks because of the pricing, more folks because of the players we're going to be announcing in the weeks ahead here. And that's the bet on the come, right? You believe in Detroit, and Detroit will believe in you. And we're doing everything that we can based on what we heard to make this event one you're going to want to go to.
And Mark, you go out and you talk to players, you talk to agents, you talk to everybody to work so hard to make this, you know, a really top tour spot. Can you share some of those travels and some of what you do?
Yeah, more importantly, I just walked down to Little Caesars Arena and talked about five people on my pathway down Woodward. You know where Woodward Avenue is, right?
Yeah, there's a parade on that presented by Gardner White. Yeah, there's a Gardner White.
Great shopping experience,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, GW
great
Home.
Shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've been out at a couple events already, and then a lot of it is just correspondence with players, managers, and agents that become, you know, your friends, and they always want what's best for the players. And in those conversations, we've described why the 26th event at the Rocket Classic is so important.
Talk to me, how many times do you have a player or an agent come and say, I had no idea that Detroit was this spectacular?
Everyone that comes.
Yep.
Everyone that comes. And, you know, we have players now that we're going to announce that part of the opportunity to come here is they wanted rooms at the Shinola Hotel because of the experiences that they've had there in the past. When we were at the end of June, a lot of them would go to the fireworks show on Monday night there, and then the pairings party that takes place right downtown. And they enjoyed walking around. You know, Keegan Bradley last year did a restaurant review on WJR, you know, talking about the London Chop House, talking about going to different shops and restaurants downtown. So when they come in, you know, a lot of them have questions. And then once they get here, those questions are gone. And the excitement builds with the players, with the managers, with the caddies, and with the fans that come in.
And I bet you organize one heck of a show and tell while you're at it.
We do. And we're lining up some things that are right up the two of your alley that I wish I could share today. But we're going to have some fun downtown. That's all I'll say. The week of the Rocket Classic, there's going to be some cool events going on all over the city of Detroit, as well as the Detroit Golf Club.
Well, knowing how your mind works, once holding a basketball game on a freight on a carrier, we can only imagine what's going to happen in downtown Detroit. Now, Rachel, you need to know, I will get a text at 5:30 in the morning, and I'll say, "What do you think of this?" And what I go, "No. What are you doing? What are you doing?" It is hilarious, the crazy text that we send back and forth. But I have a feeling something big is coming to downtown. Love just it. A feeling.
Yeah, and there's a really nice furniture retail store right down there on the corner that it might be close to that. Who knows?
Well, we'd be available.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Lots of fun.
Tell us about the course. Detroit Golf Club has gone through a big change. They were closed for, what, upwards of a year? And I understand the course is pretty much ready to go at this stage, just growing in. And tell us about some of that, Mark.
Yeah, big thanks to the members out there. Without them, obviously, this event wouldn't be possible. This is their home in the summer, and they opened up the doors to us. And just this past year, they brought in Tyler Ray, who's one of the great, great architects out there. And Tony, I walked out there, my jaw dropped, looking down the 10 fairway, looking at the bunkers, looking at the mounds and the elevations. And, He was a little sadistic in it because he tracked where every ball went on the PGA Tour, and there's a bunker right where they all landed now. So it's,
really?
It's going to be more of a challenge. We're saying maybe 6 to 8 strokes difference based on the design of the course.
Oh, God, that is so great. That is so great. Yeah. The members have got to be excited. Look, it's not good to sit out a year, but the payoff is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, you look at it being a member out there, Tony, and you take great pride in the club that you belong to. Mm-hmm. But this club has grown, you know, since 2019 and the start of the Rocket Classic exponentially. They have a PGA Tour stop at their location. It's good and bad, right? It has its inconveniences, but it also has its benefits that club members love. And now to have a course like this that, you know, Keith Haseley and Michelle and so many others put so much hard work into the strategy and the members supported, it's one of the finest places that I've played in the city, and it's going to be even better now.
Oh, that's so great. I think we got to get a set of clubs for Rachel. What do you think?
Oh, definitely.
You haven't seen Rachel's hand-eye coordination.
It's fun to ride around in a cart and have a few beverages.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
And Mark, the great volunteers, that we only have like a couple seconds, just a shout out to your great volunteers, if you would.
So this is where I talk for 3 minutes and make you very nervous. But,
yes.
you, the Grand Prix, all of us rely on volunteers, you know, 1,200 strong, and they are the backbone of this event like they are yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, succinctly put.
How'd I do?
And great, and we have Michael Montre coming on next, so we're gonna kind of go on that heavily. Yes.
I was just texting him. He's helping me. I'm helping him. We all work together in this city. Right, Tony?
You got it. You got it. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Mark, thank you. You're awesome. And Dan Gilbert's awesome. And can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Rachel, welcome back, everybody. But we now have one of the busiest people in America who is second to the busiest, which would be Bud Denker, who's second to the busiest, Roger Penske. So we welcome Michael Montre, President, Detroit Grand Prix, and everything racing to the Penske world. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Rachel. Really appreciate you having me on. And that makes me the third busiest, I think. Right?
Yeah. I kind of screwed up there. I think you're number three, but we're going to call you number one right now. Can we do that?
I think I'm talking to two people that are pretty busy themselves. So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you. And we are so excited. The Detroit Grand Prix is just, you think about it, it's days away. I mean, that's really the way I know you're looking at it. And walk us through some of the excitement this year and, you know, some new plans and some older plans that are enhanced and how your life is going with the great team you have.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. No, we're 59 days away to be exact, and we're here today actually at the College for Creative Studies. We're making the selection for our 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear promotional poster. And this is one of the favorite things we do every year. And five students get to vie with their designs to be the chosen poster for the 2026 event. So it's a great experience for the students. We provide a small stipend for them for a scholarship, and it's just a really cool day. And then we'll come out of it with a really great promotional poster. So that really kicks things off, and we're in high gear. We're, like I said, 59 days away, and believe it or not, we start building our big Dauch corporate suites here next week.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah. So now you've moved from Belle Isle to the city now for a few years. Tell us, how's that shaped the event and how has it changed the event? So, you know, it's done so much to shape and reinvigorate the city without a doubt.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Rachel. It's just an entirely new energy to the event. We have partners that Gardner White's a great example. We have partners now that weren't involved when we were on Belle Isle, but with the focus on downtown, the energy that the event brings to downtown, you know, there's just something different about running right around the Renaissance Center, right in the middle of downtown. And it's just a complete different feel. All of the parking decks that we have with the folks watching off of the parking decks, we sell tailgating spots in those parking decks, just the views that you get from those structures, it's just a completely different feel. Belle Isle was wonderful. It was great. But it is. It's just a completely different event downtown.
Well, and there's some practical realities, too. I mean, you have to have great streets to race on. You know, that's that's a really handy investment for our downtown core. What are some other things that people wouldn't have thought about that are really essential to making this work?
No, absolutely. And we come in every year and there's always some road improvements that need to be done that we do to prepare our race cars to run on these streets. And you're right, those road improvements are there year round. And those stay when we go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, one thing that is just so amazing is what Penske Corp did for Belle Isle itself and the improvements and the money that was put into that island. Can you walk through some of that? Because it is just amazing to see what you guys really
did.
Yeah,
no, thank you, Tony. The Detroit Grand Prix is a 501c3 nonprofit. We do not do this to turn a profit. We do this for the good of the city, for the good of community. And our mission statement, when we took over stewardship of the event in 2007 after the Super Bowl, was to revitalize Belle Isle and the neighborhoods surrounding it, including the city. And while we were on Belle Isle, with the help of our partners and contributions through the race, we raised over $14 million that went directly back into that island. And the DNR was a big part of that. When the DNR took over management of that from the city, they had the resources that the city at the time just didn't have. And with our support and the DNR, it really transformed that park. And once, quite frankly, once it got so busy due to that revitalization, we had to do something. And that's when we moved it back downtown. And now the park is obviously there year round and people can enjoy it year round. And it's just on a completely different plane than what it is and than what it had been up to 2007 for the recent history there up to 2007. So no, it's a landmark of our event. When we moved downtown, we didn't want to put up a fence around the whole thing. We wanted it to be inclusive. You know, over 50% of our viewing around the race course is available and open for free. You don't need a ticket to come to our event. You don't need a ticket to see the race in certain areas. If you want to sit in a grandstand, you need a ticket. But we welcome anybody that wants to come down and check out the event to come on down. It's free. Walk around Hart Plaza, walk around Spirit Plaza. All of that is open and free to the public. And then catch a couple of laps of the race. So we've always been community focused. We've always been city focused. And we do it for the good of the city and the community.
Well, we just had Mark Hollis on. And we all share the greatest volunteers in America. We really do with all of our events. And can you touch on these great volunteers a little? Because we are amazed at the parade company. And I know Mark is at the Rocket Classic. And talk about your experience with these just great, great people.
No, Tony, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the city, the way our volunteers, our collective volunteers work together in this city, it's amazing. We have over 1,300 every year that come together to help us put on this event. And it's not just for the weekend. Those 1,300 volunteers all elect managers that basically manage the event from a year-round perspective. So you might be in our offices in the middle of January and 15 people show up that are volunteers at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night, and they meet for 2 hours to talk about the event. Their dedication and passion for this event and this city is amazing. And Tony, you said it, they volunteer not just for the Grand Prix, they volunteer for the parade company, for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, for all of our events. It's an amazing, amazing city when it comes to volunteers.
You have some other races going on. You've got Washington, D.C., yeah. Indy coming very soon. Yep. You have had a lot on your plate, sir. A lot.
We do. It's been a great start to the season so far. We kicked it off in St. Petersburg. We had a brand new event in Arlington, Texas, where we partnered with the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. It was a huge success. And our next one is in Long Beach, April 19th. And before you know it, we'll be at the Indy 500. And next week, we'll be in Detroit.
So one thing that's really impressed me is the term Penske Perfect, in my experience, is very, very, very real. It doesn't matter what part of the company or what affiliation. Mr. Penske's got his hands pretty enmeshed in a lot of details. What's it like to put on an event with him? Because I'm guessing he is still very much involved.
Roger is very much involved. He is. And that's a great thing for anybody that works for this company and works for him. It's tough to explain, but he is always around to help. His question is, what can I do to help? What do you need to get the job done? You know, how can I help you get the job done? And that's really where it starts. And I will tell you, he's the first guy out there picking up garbage, mm-hmm. or he doesn't ask you to do anything that he hasn't done himself for the 60 years that Team Penske has been around. So, celebrating the 60th anniversary of Team Penske this year, and continues to go strong. It's a great, great organization.
Michael. Tony's laughing. I'm sorry. Tony's laughing because he's the one that used to tell me the stories of Roger in the middle of the night walking the Grand Prix to make sure it was ready.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Michael,
absolutely.
I met you back when I was with Elias Brothers, as you know, and we did the concessions at Michigan Speedway. And I'll never forget Roger. He went to a concession stand and took his finger and rubbed it across the counter. And he looked over and he shook his head. He said, "We got to clean these counters even better." And, you know, I learned at a very young age, how to think and how to really make things better than anybody could ever imagine. That's what he does. And your team does it every day. You really do.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on, Michael, and best of luck to you. And, God, we can't wait to come out to the Detroit Grand Prix and see that Gardner White sign on the big building, Rachel.
It's back. Yeah, thank you, Michael.
That's the best spot. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Welcome back for a great segment here. Rachel, we're excited. We pumped up?
Always.
We've got Jared Flesher, CEO of Bedrock, who has literally been on the job, I think, 6 to 8 months in this role and just making a huge difference in our city. Welcome, Jared. Welcome to the show.
Great to be on, Tony, and great to be on with you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Great. Tell us, right, what's the biggest thing you're working on right now, Jared? Like, you have so many things happening. I know the Ren Center has come up, some changes to some of the buildings you have. We're putting the ball on the tee because you have so much going on. Tell us what's happening.
Well, I would say, Tony, that the biggest thing that I accomplished to date is getting the flagship Gardner White store open on the corner of
Yay, Jared!
Let me tell you something.
We pushed.
A good friend, Tony, actually, you were instrumental. I think the light bulb went off in your head because obviously the parade and Gardner White are so tied together. Right. And for folks who haven't checked it out, it's an absolutely beautiful store with, you know, the most modern and just, elegant furniture. And it's all laid out so beautifully. It's inspiring. And you got to go check it out. But, you know, it actually leads to, a broader point, which is one of our core focuses has been retail up and down the Woodward corridor. And we haven't had the level of retail on Woodward probably in 70 years that we have now. And you think about, you know, the great cities and you walk down their main streets and you want them full of stores and restaurants. And we have that now on Woodward. We have the Apple store. We have, H&M. We have Timberland. The list goes on and on. We just have Sweetgreen come down here, Chipotle, Cava, you know, all the fast casuals that you see in major cities. We now have them in our city, from apparel at the Nike store. There's just an incredible range of retail down here. Very proud of that, and we're going to keep going. Plus, just amazing, bars and restaurants. For folks who are down here on opening day, bring a knapsack to do some shopping, and bring an appetite to go to all the bars and restaurants. But Tony, the kind of from a new development standpoint, right? Retail is about building up the corridor that's here. From a new development standpoint, really our main focus is on the riverfront. Mm-hmm. If you think about, kind of the arc of Detroit's redevelopment for the past 10 to 15 years, it's really been on the Woodward corridor, on the parade route, right? And so, Tony, you've seen it, firsthand, obviously.
Presented by Gardner White.
Presented by Gardner White. Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
So, that's really been the axis of redevelopment for the past you know, decade or so. And it's been transformational, right? You know, Detroit went from, think about when we had the Super Bowl here 15, 20 years ago now, you know, that Woodward Corridor was, it was empty, right? We had to paint the windows, the facades to make it look like things were going on in these buildings. You'd look up, they were all empty on the upper floors. And now, you know, it's all full. And that's been, it took Detroit from, you know, again, bankruptcy, you know, 10 years ago to a top 50 place to visit in the world today, according to New York Times, Time Magazine, USA Today, Travel and Leisure, one of the great, you know, comeback stories in American history. And what we want to do now is double down on that and deliver that on the east-west axis of our core here, which is the riverfront. We have this incredible riverfront, international riverfront, the best river walk in the country, but virtually no development, no commerce on the riverfront. Imagine where we would be as a city if we had the Renaissance Center instead of being, you know, an empty icon, and it's probably 90% empty now, okay? If it's brought back to life with housing, an incredible public space, and a reinvigorated hotel, and an observation deck, and bars and restaurants in it, and it's all accessible, instead of having that rat maze of a podium, you can walk right up to the front door, you know, the site is open, you can, you know, have a great sight line right to the river, and that's just, you know, getting started. Then we have the 30 acres of surface lots next to it that the plan is to turn into the best waterfront, entertainment, living, dining district in the country, you know, with major entertainment anchors, hopefully some kind of marina concept or a huge boating culture here, public space, civic space that'll be programmed, you know, for concerts and whatnot, and outdoor festivals, apartments, and of course, you know, a big array of bars and restaurants and dining right on our river. Massive, we're talking 30 acres of that. We want to make it the best in the country. Imagine where we'll be as a city, as a state, if instead of the sea of surface parking lots, we have the best waterfront district in the country to grow our economy, attract talent, grow our population, make Detroit, make Michigan the place to be.
Well, so Jared, I think when we look at the north-south development, I think that, you know, very clearly that was bedrock reading the show. And what I'm seeing from you is a different bedrock, a much more collaborative one that's probably more transactional with, you know, more institutional money. Tell me, I mean, knowing you, I'm sure it's because we're going to do more faster, but talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. It's more faster. So, but, you know, we started, you know, 15 years ago, it was pretty difficult to go to a lot of partners and say, hey, you know, jump into these waters with us, right? you know, collectively, we've proven that Detroit is not just a viable investment proposition. It's a top 50 place to visit in the world.
Right.
We have succeeded together in making a market here. And now our goal is we believe we can do more and go further faster if we take advantage of the fact that we've built a functional market and we bring in partners, we bring in institutional capital, and leverage that again to do more, go further, faster.
Great. Jared, I'll tell you what, it has got to be exciting working day to day with Dan Gilbert, whose vision never stops. And it's all about our city, our neighborhoods, the people. Talk to us about that quickly, if you could.
You know, he's my hero, and I think he's an American hero. I truly believe that. There's two things that I got to say about Dan. Number one is all of this is pure of heart. This is, he, you know, obviously built a successful, you know, mortgage business, Rocket Mortgage, but he's taken all the profits from that, plowing them back into our community. The real estate isn't about making money. It's about making an impact. That's, you know, that's how we were able to, you know, seed this market. And the second thing is there is no end to the greatness of his vision. I said, Dan, let's do a waterfront thing. He said, let's do the best waterfront thing in the world. That is Dan. He wants this city to be the best in the world. He's pure of heart about it. And I think he's an American hero for it.
Well, Jared, thanks so much for coming on. And of course, I'm sure we'll hear more at tonight's State of the City because, you know, the fate of our city is so much a part of Bedrock. So thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, Jared.
Appreciate you guys a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.